Good morning once again. It's great to see all of you this morning. Glad that you're here. I hope you're glad that you're here. Some of you are not sure. Do any of you have fears? Different types of fear? How many of you are afraid of mice? Nobody's going to raise their hand, huh? You know, all of us, as we grow up and through the years, we have different experiences and generally develop different types of fear. How many of you used to be afraid of the dark? Yeah, yeah. I remember as a little kid, turning those lights out. That was kind of a scary thing. Can't see anything. And anyway... we develop different types of fears as we're growing up based on what happens to us. Some of these fears can be very real, and some of them can be perceived fears, things that will hurt us. The professionals call those phobias. And none of you have any phobias, do you? All of them are exactly, truly things to fear. Somebody calls something a phobia to the person that's experiencing it, it's not a phobia, it is a real fear. And for whatever reason, they have a hard time getting over that fear. I must have eaten some Snap, Crackle, and Pops this morning. I guess they're still at it. Sorry about that. Most of my life, I have generally not been afraid of heights. As long as I've had a good footing or a good handhold, the things haven't bothered me. But I have not gone to that extent. That, to me, is a little bit overboard. I'm not excited about hanging on the backside of a wall of a cliff that much. Some of you may just want to just go up there and do that right now. I don't know. But... there are different things that I have not been bothered by where the people around me are bothered by it. But that rock climbing is a little bit more than what I want to handle. However, the way that some people love to swim and play in the water, you might think that they're part fish or a frog. I was never quite to that extent. The waters that I was raised around were usually... not all of them really deep, but a lot of them were pretty murky. And so I did not always enjoy getting out in the water. I didn't ever take swimming lessons. I learned by the School of Hard Knocks, you either sink or swim. And so I had to learn how to dog paddle and do a few other things just to stay afloat. And so there's some other factors that weigh into that, but I just did not ever enjoy deep water. Thank God for life preservers when I got onto deep water. And however, most people, I've got friends that just, the deeper the water, the better. They just loved some. I have never figured out why my oldest brother, who was raised in dry territory, joined the Navy. But he survived, and so I guess it was good. And so... each of us have these different fears that we deal with. On several occasions, we have to learn. I've had to learn how to overcome unreasonable fear about something. An artist once captured the idea of overcoming fear with a rather comical picture. And you'll have to use your imagination because I couldn't find the picture. But the scene is in the middle of a swamp. And there is a stork out there eating supper. And he's got a great big frog in his mouth. But the stork has a startled look on his face because the frog doesn't want to go down. In fact, the frog has reached out with his front hands and grabbed the stork by the neck and is hanging on for dear life. Can you imagine that? The frog didn't want to die. And caught the stork totally off guard by grabbing his neck. Sometimes in our life, we have to be like that. The frog may be an unreasonable, is us, and the stork may be an unreasonable fear. We've got to get a handle on our fear that is unreasonable and hang on for dear life in order to get over those fears. One of those fears may be an unreasonable fear of sharing the gospel with the people around us. Now, earlier, Brother Jonathan was sharing about in America, the challenge is in years gone by, we used to be able to go door to door and knock on doors, and people would openly receive you to hear the gospel. American culture has grown more withdrawn through the years. How do we get to the point of sharing the gospel with somebody? What do we say to those people? And we need to read through the scriptures and see how in different cases, in different situations, God actually didn't use just one method in sharing the gospel. There were many methods that are used as we look at the different cases. The woman at the well, Zacchaeus, as we look at the Philippian jailer. Just all kinds of different scenarios in where the door was opened for the gospel to be shared. We have been making our way through the book of Acts, and we are now down at the very end, and the book of Acts ends with the story to be continued. It didn't end with an end. It ended with the Apostle Paul was still ministering, even though he was in jail. We're going to back up just a chapter into Acts chapter 27 and read a little passage about God's plan for us. God's word continually reassures us that when we walk in His path, God has a plan for us. He still has work for us to do as long as we have life and breath. We have nothing to fear because the Almighty is with us. We are encouraged in the Lord Jesus. He is with us. His Spirit is with us. We have the fellowship of believers. We have the example of others who've gone before us. We have each other to lean upon. There is no reason to fear because God is with us. Jesus is the King of creation, and He is always with those who serve Him. The Holy Spirit of God, God Himself, dwells in us and tries to motivate us and encourage us and give us the words to say at the right time, in the right way, so that when we pass from this earth, where will we go? We'll be with Him forever. We have nothing to fear. We need to be a courageous people serving God every single day. The Apostle Paul has experienced God's protection and provision on multiple occasions, and he, in the process, just as Jesus foretold, he has also experienced all kinds of physical abuse. He has suffered tremendously in the service of Jesus Christ. I cannot say that I have suffered in the name of Jesus. Now, I've experienced some discomfort, some people turning me off, some people get upset with me because of my Christian faith, but I have not experienced anybody stoning me, beating me, or throwing me in jail. So I consider myself in pretty good shape compared to what a lot of our Christian brothers have gone through. Even through all of that challenging time that the Apostle Paul went through, he kept his faith in the Lord Jesus because Jesus went to what point for us? Jesus died for us. He suffered horribly for us. And Paul was willing to give his entire life to the Lord. Even though he is now in chains, God helps him to keep up his courage to be a faithful witness, even when it looks like it's the end of the world. And Paul's faith and courage in the Lord not only helped himself, but it helped the people around him to also be courageous. And so thus we have this message that I've titled, Keep Up Your Courage. Keep up your courage. God is with you. He has a plan. In spite of everything that's going on around us, God has a plan. Would you join me in a word of prayer before we continue on? Thank you, Father, for loving us and caring for us. Thank you for the courage that you give to us. You've given us your help. Your very Spirit dwells within us. You've given us your Scriptures that we can walk in faith and obedience to you. You've promised us that when we are faithful to you, you will give us eternity with you. So, Father, help us to be courageous people, to overcome the threats, the challenges, the deceit, and the cunningness of Satan's deceptions, that we would be your people always. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity of sharing together and studying your word. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've shared just a little bit briefly on the history of the Apostle Paul. Those of you who've been coming to church, you've been walking with me through the Scripture, the book of Acts. But here at this point, the Apostle Paul is finally being sent to see the Roman Emperor. He's being sent by ship, and he's handcuffed to a Roman soldier. He's with a group of other prisoners, with other soldiers as well. They have been on a ship for some time, sailing from the coast of the region of Palestine, the Mediterranean western coast, headed for Rome. And they've generally followed the coastline, and now they have gone across in the open sea, and it's late in the season. It's in the late fall, and it's in the time of the storms. And in the process, they have taken off against Paul's advice. The ship captain said, "Oh, I know what I'm doing. You don't know what you're doing. Who are you?" And they wanted to get to a better port on this particular island. In the process, they got caught in a horrible storm, and the storm has been tossing them here and there. They have no idea where they're at in the middle of the Mediterranean. They all think they're going to die by what means? Drowning. How many of you enjoy deep water? I don't. And this story just kind of gets a hold of my attention by the neck and makes me wonder, do I want to be out there? What was Paul's thoughts in the process? So we'll be looking at this passage, but let's pick up in Acts chapter 27, reading to start at verse 21 through 26. Get in your mind. Remember, they've been out in the middle of this storm for almost 2 weeks. 2 weeks! This storm hasn't stopped. Verse 21. When they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, "Men, you ought to have followed my advice and not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night an angel of the God whom I belong to and whom I serve stood before me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on a certain island.'" Skip over with me to verse 33 through 38. "Until the day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them all to take some food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating, having taken nothing. Therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation, for not a hair from the head of any of you will perish.' Having said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. All of them were encouraged, and they themselves also took food. All of us in the ship were 276 persons. When they had eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing out the wheat into the sea." We're going to just stop right there. The rest of the story is in interesting, but I want to focus on that. Keep up your courage. Keep up your courage. The first point I want to deal with is that Paul's faith in Christ empowered his courage. Paul's faith in Christ just helped him to carry on. Paul has been wholeheartedly committed to serving Jesus Christ ever since his first introduction to the Lord. Remember, Paul was blinded by the presence of Jesus, and Paul commissioned him to become an evangelist about 30 years previously. So Paul has been spending the last approximately 30 years giving his all to serving Jesus Christ. And Paul believed in those promises and the power of Jesus. He had seen God work miraculously time after time after time as he worked through Paul in that ministry. Paul had been working in the power of God's Spirit since he first gave his life to the Lord. Jesus transformed his heart, his soul, his mind, his strength. Paul was wholeheartedly a committed servant of Jesus, giving his life for the Lord. The very presence of the Holy Spirit working through Paul is unlike any other power that Paul had ever experienced, and I hope that you yourself have experienced the power of God's Spirit working in you, giving you wisdom, insight, direction in making decisions that the rest of the world does not have access to. We have God working in us. That's a special blessing. That's a special gift. Not only do we have the fruit of the Spirit, but quite often He works in other ways in our lives, in talents and abilities that others are not able to have access to. Every one of us, every servant of Christ, receives that same power of God, the Holy Spirit, working in us. The second point is that Paul has endured persecution many, many times in the past, just as the Lord had warned all of his disciples. Like I said earlier, I haven't experienced the beatings, the whippings, the jailings that Paul did, but it's possible. We have brothers and sisters of faith around the world who are experiencing very harsh persecutions because of their faith in Jesus today. Paul had once been the persecutor, so he understood this hatred for those who were angry with him and other Christians. But suffering didn't stop him. He kept pressing on. God had used those trials even for good. That's the promise of Romans 8:28. You know, we sometimes forget when it's a gloomy, bad situation, we think, well, I just feel terrible. Has God left me? No, God hasn't left us. What does Romans 8:28 say? All things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. So God is going to use it for a good situation. We could go back and list several of the ways that bad situations God turned for good in Paul's ministry. But this is one of those situations. Paul doesn't know what's going to happen, but God's going to turn it for good in the long run. God had declared that Paul would be a witness to Rome, to Caesar himself. Now, he had said that 2 years previously while Paul was in jail. Does God forget His promises? No, never. God keeps His word. And so God had told him 2 years previously he would be a witness to Caesar. And now we have the angel appearing to him and said, you will be going to Rome. Now, how is that possible when you're in the middle of a ship that's out in the middle of a storm that won't let loose of your ship? God's in control. And we have to remember that. God is in control. God even told him that they would even shipwreck on an island. And it's not Gilligan's Island. Amen? There's going to be people there. And Paul will be used by God in a positive way. God always keeps His word. He always gets His way. He never tells a lie because His word is always true. And so Paul is encouraged. God sent His angel to bolster Paul's courage. This journey to Rome has been delayed by this storm. It's lasting day after day after day. Do any of you get seasick? Motion sickness? Can you imagine 2 weeks in a boat that is just rocking and rolling and turning upside down all the time? I mean, these guys, even the crew, had given up hope. They saw no way possible to escape. They were being constantly tossed by the waves. And earlier in the verses we skipped over, it says the crew even threw their extra tackle overboard, trying to lighten the ship. Now they don't have anything except for the wheat and the people. Wow, how are they going to get through this? They lost all their hope from survival. They have no idea where they are, and they all fear being drowned. Now, Paul knew from previous experiences that what may appear as impossible for man is what? Is possible for God. God makes good things. He makes lemonade out of lemons. Amen? Let's go on to the second point of this message. Paul's testimony from God helped others to be courageous. His testimony helped others to be courageous. The blessings and gifts which God gives His children are not to be hoarded or limited to only the group that we choose, the people that we like. It's to be shared with everybody. Luke was also with the Apostle Paul. Did you catch in those passages? It says we and us. Luke is the author of the book of Acts. Luke was being tossed around with Paul and who knows how many other believers on that boat. How many altogether? 276 souls. Paul was becoming a witness, a preacher to a trapped congregation. He had an opportunity to witness to all these people who couldn't run away. People who were desperate for life. And Paul had the answer. The living God who sent His loving Son is going to save us. And not a hair on your chinny chin chin will be hurt. Oh, that's a different story, right? But not a hair on their head would be lost. I find that interesting, that terminology. They were all captive, desperate people looking for hope, and Paul gives them hope. God used these tragic conditions for the glory of Christ. God is always in control. Even when it appears that chaos is winning, even though it looks like the world is upside down, the truth is that God is taking Paul on a brand new expedition to a new area of service, a service that Paul would have never gone to on his own. But God saw open doors and was taking them through the storm to new ministry opportunities. The route would open doors of more miraculous ministry for the glory of Jesus Christ, even while Paul was chained to a Roman soldier. I wonder what was going on in the mind of that soldier as he experienced Paul performing miracles for the glory of God. Do you think that soldier was able to not believe in the God who saved Paul? In the glory and the life of Jesus Christ, the power that was working through Paul? It'd be interesting. Maybe in heaven we'll get to talk to that soldier who was chained to Paul. Paul proclaimed God's plan to deliver every person alive in spite of the horrific storm that they were trapped in. Only the ship and the cargo would be lost as they wrecked on an island. How did Paul know that they were going to wreck on an island? By the power of God, by the wisdom of God. And the section that we passed over is that Paul's courageous words were soon confirmed as the crew began to detect through their experience of being seamen, they suspected they were getting closer to land. And they started taking soundings. They started measuring the depth of the ocean. And the first depth was 90 feet. And then the next one was 60 feet. And they realized they were getting close to land, just like Paul had just said. And so they dropped out the anchors to save themselves so they could wait till morning to see what was going to happen. The sea was getting shallower, and they knew that land was near. Now, Paul led others by courageous actions. With faith in Jesus Christ, Paul boldly stopped some sailors from abandoning ship. They were getting the lifeboat out, ready to theoretically check the anchors. But in reality, Paul said, if they don't stay on the boat, none of us will survive. And so the soldiers obeyed Paul. They cut the ropes of that lifeboat and let it go. I find that rather interesting. That phrase again, for not a hair from the head of any of you will perish, but you all have to stay on board. Paul continued to courageously encourage and help others. Once they got on the land, how many of them survived? All of them survived. And they ended up on this island called Malta. On the island, God used Paul to do several things. While they were lighting a fire, a poisonous viper attached itself to Paul. He shook it off in the fire, and they all watched to see how quick he was going to die. He had no ill effects. He just kept on going. And then they thought, wow, he must be a god. No, he's a servant of the Lord God, and not even a snake bite can take him down. He went on to heal the servant, the father of the governor of the island, and then everybody on the island who was sick brought all their sick people in. He healed all those people. Paul continued to serve in the name of Jesus Christ in this brand new territory that God opened up through a 2-week-long storm. Moving on to the final point of this message is, our courageous testimony of Christ helps others to become Christians, children of God. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but God has His plan. God knows what tomorrow holds, and God knows the people that are going to come in contact with you. And the question is, are we ready to serve Jesus in every situation? Jesus has empowered every believer to be His witness. His Holy Spirit is within us. We have the Scriptures here, even in the 21st century. Here we are, 2,000 years after the events of Paul. Has God lost His pizzazz? Has God lost His power? No. Has Jesus fizzled out? No. He has the same power to work in us if we will trust Him, if we will be courageous. Christ rules over the entire universe. He always has. He always will. He's still in power today, and we need to trust Him. He is the authority and power over heaven and earth. He is the one who has defeated sin and death for all of us. So we need to be courageous in Him. Let me read the passage in Colossians 1, verse 15 through 20. Talking about our Savior, our Lord, we need to remember this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Jesus is Lord, King, Master, Savior. He's the boss. And what has he told us to do? He's called for us to be his witnesses, to be courageous, to be bold, to watch for the situations, the opportunities, maybe by a well, maybe at our work, maybe with our neighbor, whoever it may be. We need to be alert for opportunities to be a witness, because the King of creation has ordered us to do that, to be faithful, to be courageous. We are either a witness for Jesus or we're a witness for Satan. Those are the only two options. Are we serving Jesus or are we serving Satan? I want to serve Jesus. All in favor, say amen. Are you sure? Serve Jesus. Be courageous. Be bold. Christ rules over the entire universe today and always. He is the authority. He is the power over heaven and earth. He has defeated sin and death. We need to be courageous in him. Christ has transformed us to be his ambassadors in this world. God isn't going to be using a bunch of robots. He's not going to be using his angels, even though his angels are busy protecting us. God has made us to be his witnesses, his ambassadors. We have been given life. We have been given hope. We have been delivered from various types of sin, and that is part of your witness, how God has helped you overcome your sin. You can share that with others. We must overcome Satan's distractions, his lies, his deceit. We are to be dressed in God's armor, right? Which is the Word of God, knowing God's Word to deal with all of the situations that will come our way. And God's Spirit will help us to understand those situations as we practice living for Jesus. His word of life and love needs to be at the center of our life as we seek out new individuals to share the promise of life everlasting with Jesus. We have to guard against excusing ourselves from our witness. Why do I say that? One of the things that we sometimes fall into the trap of is saying, well, that's not my job. It's the preacher's job. That's what I give my money to the church for. No. Jesus said, go ye therefore, all of us. It's not just preachers, not just the elders, not any deacons. It's every one of us. And we see that example. We've looked at that example earlier in the book of Acts as the church was being persecuted. Every one of those believers wanted to share the message of life everlasting in Jesus. Another one that we might do is excuse ourselves away is, and I kind of look at this as a special day. We've been blessed with Brother Jonathan and his family to be here talking about the work of SAEM, the spreading the gospel around the world. And sometimes we say, well, that's the missionary's job, to go to other people in other lands. Oh, really? Is it only missionaries? We need to be a witness anywhere and everywhere we go. And so if you go on vacation someplace to some other land, look at it as an opportunity that God may be using you in that moment to be a missionary, to share God's love with those people. Be courageous, always looking for opportunity to serve God. Don't be afraid. A prison warden told his condemned prisoner on death row, tomorrow is your day. You can order anything you want. You can have beef Wellington. You can have caviar. You can have flaming yawn. You can have anything you want. And the prisoner said, no, I don't want any of that. Just give me a bowl of mushrooms. A bowl of mushrooms? Why do you want a bowl of mushrooms? Well, I've always been afraid of eating mushrooms. I thought I would die if I ate mushrooms. And at this point, it doesn't matter. We have the words of life. And if we were to die in our witness, does it matter? Jesus has promised us what? Everlasting life. So why do we let Satan mess with us and create fears? Be bold. Be courageous. Serve Jesus. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for this privilege of sharing in the hearing about the work of SAEM. We ask your blessing upon the Mesas and all of those who are working with them. And Father, we ask for encouragement that if you are moving in our heart, that we might become co-workers and maybe take in a mission group, a work team to share with them or some other group, that you will be with us always and help us to be always courageous in sharing the gospel. Help us to be wise in the way we do it, but especially that we work in your love and your power through Jesus Christ. Thank you for this day once again. Thank you for the opportunity to be your servants, your children. Let us move forward until the day you come again. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.